Well, do you know that God has called you to be a highly successful and effective individual? Do you believe that? Amen. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, let this book of the law never depart from your lips. Meditate on it day and night. And do all that it tells you to do. And you'll be very successful. Amen. So today we're going to break down a few habits and a few things that we can do to be very effective in our walks and very successful. You know, sometimes we go through things, and I'm about to preach. So is that image fine there? Is it good? Okay. So sometimes something happens to us and it's bad. We go through things that we didn't plan for, right? We get a doctor's report that we didn't plan for. We get a son that is born with a genetic condition. We didn't plan for that, right? It wasn't in our plans. Or we get divorce papers and that was not in the plan, right? Or we get ourselves into an issue because of our just bad decisions and we can't seem to get out. And we're asking the Lord, why? Why? Or we're asking ourselves, how? Lord, how do I get out of this situation? Right? I'm stuck. Have you guys ever felt stuck? Right? Now, God doesn't want you to be stuck in the why. Because when you're stuck in the why and you're battling to move forward, well, then that's not what God has for you. So we have to ask a different question. And the question is, what's next? Okay? Because if you're just going to be in the why and the how, it's you're going to get stuck. And so what God wants you to start asking is, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's my response? So highly effective people don't get stuck in the, oh my goodness, this happened to me. I've got to process it. Okay, we have to process. I'm not saying we don't process. We process, we grieve. But, you know, that grieving period cannot last forever. And it can't last like so long that you just like become bankrupt. And, you know, you have to shorten that grieving period because we have a hope. The Bible says that we don't grieve like the heathen do, okay? Something bad happens and they just can't get out of what happened. And they just can't believe it, right? Well, we know what's happening. There's a devil. He's coming to steal. He steals the word because he steals the word, you don't have faith, right? And then he comes to kill and he comes to destroy, right? So we know that there is an agenda against us. So when things happen, we have to say, okay, what's next? We are living for eternity. So we have a different perspective. There is always hope in Jesus. Amen. Always, I don't care what has happened to you. I have had people call me with the most horrific things that have happened to them where I have to put down the phone and literally go and cry for an hour because I have to process what's happened to these people, right? But then I know that there's a hope in Jesus, right? And so when I process the hope in Jesus, I can go back to them with a salute, with hope, right? With the gospel, right? In Jesus, there is always hope. It reminds me of that song that a man wrote, and it's called It Is Well With My Soul. He was a businessman, and he sent his family ahead to a crusade, and they all drowned on the ship. And this man was a businessman. Tragedy after tragedy had struck him. And he penned this song called, It Is Well With My Soul. Whatever my lot, God has caused me to say and caused me to know, it is well with my soul. If that's the only hope that you have, knowing that it is well with your soul, that is enough. Amen? So that is the hope that we live for and with. And so when we wake up in the morning and the enemy gives us a reason to be depressed, because he does that, right? You wake up and you look at everybody else's social media feeds and you think, oh my gosh, I'm a failure. I'm a total failure, right? Do you guys get that? I don't look like that. I'm not doing that. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, right? But that's the enemy coming with voices of discouragement and accusation against us. But we have to understand that it is well with my soul. Whatever my lot thou has caused me to know, it is well with my soul. So we have that eternal hope within us. And then we can start living in the glory that he has called us for today. The Bible says that his mercies are new when? Every morning. So you just have to get the mercy and the hope for today, not for tomorrow, not for till the end of time, only for today. Say today. I need to have hope for today. His mercies are for today. So today I have to have the courage and the hope to live an effective and successful life for today. And Jesus paid the price so that you can be a highly effective, say highly effective, a highly successful person. Now, how do we measure success? Success is not just about, first of all, we know success is having received Jesus. That's the ultimate, okay? You're born again. Yet, a lot of born-again believers lived very depressing lives. Have you realized that? I'm like, oh my goodness, right? And they stay in that place, but God did not want them to be in that place. So we want to make sure that none of us are in that place, right? When you're born again, God gives you so much that you cannot but succeed. You cannot but succeed, all right? So what happens is your paradigm, your foundation, your outlook on life has to be one of an abundance mentality. Say, I need to have an abundance mentality. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall have no lack. I shall not want. Okay? Every Christian should know that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I will want for nothing. I will lack for nothing. I won't lack joy. I won't lack money. I won't lack peace. I won't lack prosperity. I won't lack business opportunities. I won't lack money in the bank, contracts. I won't lack interpersonal skills. Amen. I shall not want. So the foundation for my life has to be there is enough. When you have a lack mentality, you cannot stand to see other people prosper. You can't stand to see other people doing well. You can't stand for other people to come up here and preach a good message or sing a great song or just buy a nice house, or it's just, you can't celebrate other people's victories. And somebody that's successful can go into a room and just celebrate other people. If you're a successful person, you are going out and it becomes more about other people's success. And you're like, I am so happy to hear that God is blessing you, that God is prospering you, that God is positioning you in places of influence. That is a place of success when you can see other people's success and rejoice with them. Amen? That's success. Success is having interpersonal skills where you're able to raise people up, to see other people succeed, to rejoice with others. It's not just about your success. And that is where God wants us to go, is to have, so God first teaches us independence, right? the worst people or the worst kind of relationships that you can see in life is codependence. When parents raise their kids to be codependent, that's so unhealthy because kids need to be able to be independent. They need to know, I can do this on my own. I can sort this relationship out with my friend on my own. I can process betrayal and I can go and speak to that person and address an issue. It's a value that you teach your kids, right? Don't come gossip about your sister, your brother, or, you know, or the person at school. Go and speak to them and say, this is the problem, and sort it out. You've got to teach your kids to process. But we as adults need to learn to process things that have happened to us, right? And that's a value that we have at Eternity Church. If you have a problem with somebody, do not go tell 10 people. Go to that person in love and with a heart to resolve the matter. Hey, you know what? When you did that, you hurt my feelings. Now you've brought it into the light. They can process what they've done. And then they can say, hey, you know what? I didn't actually mean it like that. You know, that was not my intention. I'm really sorry that I've hurt you. But when you go and tell other people, what you're doing is you're taking your offense and you're putting it on somebody else. And that person might not be mature enough to process that. So now you've become a stumbling block. And the Bible says, woe to those who cause stumbling to the lesser of us. Amen. We don't want to be causing stumbling blocks. We want to walk in honesty and truth with people. So that's interpersonal skills. So when we have a foundation of more than enough, there is no lack. God is backing me up. I have no lack. There is no reason for me to be battling. Now I can start implementing a few habits and disciplines that are going to set me up for success. Amen. So our foundation is our perspective and our paradigm. So if you feel like you have a paradigm or perspective of lack, you grew up poor maybe, and you just feel like when you even look at your family, you feel like we don't have enough. We don't have enough to go on holiday. We don't have enough to go out for a meal. We don't have enough to send our kids to college. We don't have enough. If that's the paradigm that you're operating in when you wake up, that paradigm has to shift. And how you shift that paradigm is you start reading God's word. And we start at the beginning. In the beginning was a word. No. Sorry, I'm talking, then that's John. Let's try Genesis. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? So that beginning. And God didn't say, oh my goodness, look how dark it is. There's nothing. We have nothing. They didn't start talking about the darkness. They didn't talk about what they didn't have. They started called Jesus called out and said, the word spoke and said, let there be, right? So they called the things that were not as though they are. And God then showed us the model. Don't look at the darkness. Don't look at the lack. Start calling the things that are not as though they are. So you might think we don't have money for whatever you need. You start calling it in. You either call in what you need. If you need a holiday fully paid for, you call it in. Or you call in if you need a cleaner to come and clean. Thank you, Father God, for the money to have a cleaner to come and clean so that we can be free to do what you've called us to do, so that we're not burdened. God doesn't want burdened, tired people around. That's not the model. That's not what he's called us to. He wants us to be energized, filled with life, filled with creativity. If you don't have the energy to be creative, you're doing something wrong. Something's missing. Okay? So you have to start making excuses for why you're in that position and start shifting and saying, okay, where is it that I want to be and what's going to get me there? And then say, I've got more than enough to get me there. Okay? That's the more than enough mentality. So there are four things that get you to a place of being highly effective. And the first thing is having discipline. discipline. We were talking about spiritual disciplines, and I'd like you to go listen to the previous 2 weeks if you missed that. But spiritual disciplines, Timothy says that we practice spiritual disciplines in order to become godly. So our motivation is not to say for people to look at us and say, oh, that person's very godly, the outward appearance, right? No, it's to become godly, to become like Jesus and to be. So our motivation is internal change, to become like God. So when you're finished, you are like God, right? So it's not external change. It's something that happens now. Discipline creates habits and routines and become who you are. So you then produce in you a belief system. Because of your disciplines, you become godly. So as you spend time in prayer, you become like Jesus. As you read the word, you become like Jesus. As you wake up and work, God's a hard worker. He's not a lazy person. You know, I've realized we're surrounded by a lot of lazy people. I watched this clip today on YouTube. No, was it Instagram? This guy, he's a trainer. He says this ex-cop came to him and said to him, I really want to get fit, but I've got this shoulder. It's sore and I can't really press the weights. And the guy said to him, so can you walk? Can you run? Can you do sit-ups? Well, do that. See, he was focusing on that one ailment that he had, and he was excusing the fact that he had a big belly and whatever. And this personal trainer said to him, well, don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. And that is what an abundant mentality does. We don't focus on the lack. We focus on what we have. And we focus on what we can control, not what we can't control. Amen. And that's what God wants you to do, is say, okay, Lord, you've given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Thank you that I have this abundance mindset. Thank you, Lord, that you created the heavens and the earth and that you called those things that are not into being and that I can follow the same example. And then God says, and let them have dominion. He created man and woman in his image, and he said, let them have dominion. So he created everything on earth with so many resources. Do you know that we haven't tapped into, I don't know, that not even half of the resources in the earth? They say there's so much untapped resources in the earth. An abundance of oil, an abundance of gold. God created so many resources that we could never run out. He's a good God, right? So what do we have to do? We have to go search out the resources. Go search out. The Bible says he has given us the ability to create wealth. So what do we have to do? Father, I thank you for that ability. Thank you that you impart that. I pray that over our family all the time. Now, if you're tired and you can't even think straight, you can't tap into creativity for strategy. So you've got to say, Lord, thank you that you give me rest, and thank you that you give me the strategies. Sometimes I'll just go on a walk and I'll say, Lord, give us strategies for wealth. Give us strategies for our family. You know, we have to have strategies. And when God gives us a strategy, I'll write it down, I'll discuss it with Jared, and we'll start planning towards that. And we'll start walking towards that. You can't be highly effective if you're not planning to be effective. If you're not planning for it, it's not going to happen. It doesn't fall from the sky or knock on your door and say, hi, I'm the treasure that you're waiting for. No. Treasure is sought out. It's planned for. It's the daily habits and the disciplines that you foster every day consistently that's going to position you for success. The value of discipline is the way to do what needs to be done. So it's not all that glamorous. You wake up, you make your bed, you clean the house, you make sure your taxes are paid, and you make sure, you know, you do the things that you have to do. And then because that's all in order, you can be creative. Does that make sense? So the disciplines are necessary. Faith allows you to take off the limitations. So the second thing is faith. The third thing that you need is community. Mentorship, hang out with people that are more successful than you. Now, I want you to think of an area that you're battling with. Okay? If you're battling with an addiction, God has given you community and accountability to get you out of that addiction. So you've got to pray, Lord, who is that person? And I'm going to be accountable to them. Now, remember, I told you about that personal trainer. He said to the guy, focus on the areas that you can use. And he said, I want you to have a six-pack in 90 days. That's what he told this ex-cop. Now, do you think that ex-cop liked that? No, he did not. I'm sure he didn't like it, because why I know is because I'm not a huge exercise fan. And when people tell me I must just eat right, I don't like that answer. They say, just count your macros. And I'm like, no, that sounds very complicated. Well, it's not that complicated. I just need to get my mind right, right? But if I'm not willing to pay the price and get my mind right, I'm not going to have the body like Nancy has, right? I need to get my mind right, right? I have to adjust a few things. But we don't like that. And what mentors do is they challenge you. When you hang out with highly effective people, they're going to call you up and it's not going to feel comfortable. And that is why we have to be around people that call us up. Because we start realizing that, oh, wow, there is way room for improvement here. There's some habits that I need to work on. And so that's why we have community and God created us. And one of the things that highly effective people do is their interpersonal skills, the synergy that they have with other people makes them more effective. So independence is important because you have to stick to the disciplines. But then the powerful thing about interdependence is that you grow as a person, because working with people is not easy. We all have our little quirks. I'm married, believe you me. My husband has his little quirks. And I'm like, you are not normal. The way you think is not normal. And then I have my oldest son. Oh my goodness. He has an ear infection. And to put 3 drops into his ears is like, he's my oldest. He's 11. But he doesn't want to move his hand so that I can put the drops in. He can't stand people touching his ears. He has issues. I'm like, you're not the youngest, you're the oldest. And many times, like, he has these little things in his hand. We call them chains in the brain. I'm like, you got to get rid of the chains in the brain. Like, he doesn't like it when people chew with their mouths open around him. I'm like, well, you know what's going to happen? Every time you're going to be around people, they're going to chew with their mouths open, because it's something that you need to change within you, right? So it's going to keep happening. He goes to a conference now. He doesn't like people's, you know, he's just very, so he goes to a conference, a kid's conference, and what happens? The boy in front of him turns around and spits his water all over him. This is Cody we're talking about. He says, Mom, I wanted to smack the child. Because what's going to happen? The devil's going to do that so that you can be totally distracted, so that you can't receive. Isn't that what happens? So we have to grow our interdependence, right? Our reactions. And that's where the maturity comes. But really, when your interdependent skills become sharpened, you become way more effective, because synergy, and that's why the Bible says 2 is better than 1. When you get married, everything that you do multiplies, not twofold. It multiplies, because that's what marriage does. You come together and you have skills, he has skills. Together, you just take off, right? That's the power of synergy. And God wants us to be able to have that synergy with the right people. God connects people divinely. And that's why when we start our businesses, God will pair you up with the right people so that he takes you to that next level. So community is very important. This accountability is really important. If you have some things to overcome today, I want you to write down your goals. This is where I am right now. this is where I want to be. I'm going to need somebody to kick some butt. And I'm going to have to allow them to, okay? Because I'm not going to be able to do it on my own. Some things you need people to help you to get there. And you're going to have to allow them to do that. Community also provides support, because sometimes when we're at the weakest, we just need somebody to pray us through where we're at. I mean, there were times for me where I had to just call, and it would always be older women that have time to pray and they know how to pray. I'd call them and say, listen, you need to pray for me right now because I need serious prayer. And they would just be on the phone with me for like 30 minutes, just praying in the spirit, praying things. And after those 30 minutes, I'm fine. But they're filled with the word and they're filled with the spirit. And when they pray, things shift. Amen. And they pray the word. And as they pray the word, you know, I would come into alignment with God's word. My emotions would settle down. So if you're emotional and you need somebody, you need to be able to pick up the phone and be humble. Say humble. Being in community requires humility because you have to share a few things. You have to be able to let down your guard, and God will not allow you to grow without you letting down your guard and being humble. That's why men have to be in community. Women, we find it a bit easier. Not all women, but generally women do find it easier. But for men, we have to be in community where we can be vulnerable. If we battle with things like porn and drug addiction and stuff like that, we can share, and there's no shame. Because we've all been there. Amen? We have all been there. Skill, sharpening your saw. Successful people are always developing new skills. If you're just in a job and you're maintaining, that's not what God's created you for. We always are having to learn new things, learn new skills, step out and do new projects. I'm a CPA. I trained as that. But when I went to help Pastor Jared in Africa, I had to learn about all the departments, about filming, about IT, about things that I never had to learn about because, you know, on every project we were doing new things. So I had to get my skill level up so that I could speak to the IT guys, that I could speak to, you know, the project managers that were coming in to do whatever they were doing. And that's what life's all about. That's what makes it exciting. Amen. When you do new things and you learn new skills and you find out about, that's what life's all about. It's like, you're learning. It's such a privilege to be able to learn that we never should be at, well, I'm just doing this. And, you know, I don't really, no, that's not how God created us to increase from glory to glory. You look at the Proverbs 31 woman, she was selling and buying. She was looking after her kids. She was trading. She was speaking life into her husband. The Bible says that he was at the city gate and he was a respected husband, because she was speaking life into him. So the Proverbs 31 woman is a woman that is very creative and very entrepreneurial. Amen? So God wants us to be that. So sharpening your skill is also looking after your body and your health, being rested. We have to be rested and eat well so that we can do what we are called to do. Amen? So I want us to think about what we spoke about today. And I want you to think about, are you a person that has an abundance mentality? And if you don't, how are you going to shift to that abundance mentality? Because I promise you, if that basis is not right, you can do everything externally, but you're always going to default back to there's not enough. I don't have enough. I don't have what it takes. When you have an abundance mentality, you know, I have what it takes. I might just need some people around me to help me get there. I have the resources. If you think you don't have the resources, it's not because you don't have the resources. It just means you don't have the faith or the strategies to access the resources. And then be proactive and not reactive. people that are abundant, they have an abundant mentality, they take responsibility for their lives, their own lives. And that's where it starts. Personal responsibility is not my mom, my dad, I was poor, this happened to me. No, we are not reactive, we're proactive, which means that I take responsibility for my life. That happened, but now what's next? What am I going to do? And how am I going to do? Who am I going to do it with? So you've got to make commitments to yourself and stick to them. Replace reactive languages like, he makes me so mad, if you're married, to proactive, I can control my feelings. Amen. They're my feelings. I'm totally responsible with them and I'm fine. Right? It's like having a three-year-old. When a three-year-old tosses out all his toys and screams and shouts, and you just stand there and you're like, okay, you're okay. You're okay. And when you are so mature and you have your foundation set, when other people react, you're like, you're okay. It's going to be okay. Right? You don't have to respond. Right? And that's where God wants you to be, where you're totally at peace.